Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Great to be with you. It's great to continue to be with you. Those of you who've been hanging around with me already today, thanks for that. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm excited about having Dr. Hamilton Beasley back on the show with us. Hamilton is one of our top management experts. He's the co-author of a book called Continuity Management. He's also the author of a brand new book that we're going to launch this morning on the show called No Regrets, a 10-step program for living in the present and leaving the past behind. Hamilton, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you again, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And Hamilton, you've got a new assignment, and I just don't have that in front of me. I know you're down in Austin, Texas, but I want you to tell us what your new assignment is.
I'm scholar in residence at St. Edward's University, teaching in the graduate program of management here.
All right. Scholar in residence. That sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it, folks? I'm impressed. Hamilton, congratulations on your book, No Regrets, and I, ladies and gentlemen, have been honored to receive an advanced copy, which means that an advanced copy means that the cover is plain, but the content is still the rich stuff. And so, Hamilton, I'm looking forward to getting my spanking new fancy cover the way that they're available in bookstores now.
It's just shipped from the publisher about several days ago, and you will have it as soon as I get it and send it on to you.
And don't forget to autograph it, by the way.
You autographed yours, I'll autograph mine.
Well, and you know, those signatures could be worth 30, 40 cents in 100 years or so, you know? Hey, Hamilton, you actually, you know, the subtitle of your book is a 10-step program to living in the present and leaving the past behind. I was talking earlier when I was telling the audience you were coming about this, and I said, you know, and I said the obvious. I said, the past is gone. There's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is use it as a tool to improve what happens in the future, but taking care not to let it become baggage. And that's the key, isn't it?
That really is the key. One of the good things about regrets is that they invariably carry lessons and gifts if we're willing to look for them. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that these are often potential lessons and gifts because in our anger or our pain or our shame, we've not looked for them, but they're there and they're invaluable to us. It's one of the ways, one of the steps we take to let go of regrets is to find the lessons and gifts in them. And the difference between a lesson and a gift, which people sometimes ask, a lesson is something we've learned from past events that we can use in the future. We can apply it to some mm-hmm. future set of circumstances that are similar. And gifts are not so much specific lessons applicable to the future as they are whole new perspectives on life, greater wisdom, or a more meaningful set of goals.
Mm-hmm.
They can also take the form of people and events that would not have been part of our lives had we not had the regret.
Well, it's all memories, isn't it? That's one of the things. All of the things, whether it be the gifts or the lessons or the regrets, they're all memories. And I love something that I read in a book 20-something years ago by William Leestheap Moon. William Trogdon is his non-Indian name. He wrote a book called Blue Highways. I don't know if you've ever read that book, but it's an old book, but it's a good one. And he had a grandfather who was an Osage Indian, as I remember. And he said, you know, some things don't have to be remembered. They remember themselves. Isn't that a great story?
That's very
some
nice.
Some things don't have to be remembered. They remember themselves. And those are the ones that I have to deal with the most. In as far as the regrets that I have, Hamilton, are those that I try to forget, but they keep remembering themselves.
They do remember themselves, but really letting go of a regret doesn't mean we have to forget the regret, because very likely we won't forget the regret. What we can do is to neutralize the regret. We can come to terms with it spiritually and intellectually and emotionally so that it no longer has the power to hurt us in the present.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't fair to have our present impaired by something that no longer exists, is no longer in the world, and no longer has to affect us. Any power we give to regrets, we give to regrets, because they're gone. They're yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Life is only in the present.
And if they still seem to have some life, ladies and gentlemen, I guess it's because Hamilton's telling us it's because we've given it life. And when we come back, we're going to get Hamilton to tell us how to deal with that. We're going to actually talk about some of those 10 steps in his program for living in the present and leaving the past behind. They're all in his new book called No Regrets. Tony Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, visiting with our good friend Dr. Hamilton Beasley. And he's the author of a brand new book called No Regrets. It's now available wherever books are sold. And there's a website, too, isn't there, Hamilton?
There is. It's www.noregrets.org. That's O-R-G.
All right. And you can find out more about the book, including I'm actually got the site up right now, and Hamilton looks great.
Thanks.
And a lot of good information here. You can find out more about how Hamilton's system works. In fact, there's a listing of the 10 steps to be able to get rid of the regrets. And one of the things you say, actually the very first thing you say, Hamilton, that we should do to deal with regrets is to list them. Write them down.
That's right. Writing something down is very powerful. It's helpful in decision making. It's helpful in dealing with stress. The reason it is that it constrains our imagination. Once we see it on the page, we limit it, and it's not as fearful and it's not as unmanageable. We actually make it manageable that way.
There's something about whatever it is that's on your mind, looking back at you from the page, that gives it some kind of gravity. That makes it definable. That makes it puts it into a form that you can where you can deal with it. If you just say something out loud, it's almost like it's a spirit that you can't control. But to think about it, you know, it's just like this. It's like this thing that you keep grabbing for and it keeps evading you. But if you can write it down, put it on a piece of paper and have it, let it look back at you. There's something about that, and not only regrets. Hamilton, I've recommended this for lots of other things, for a challenge, something that you're trying to accomplish, like a business plan. I mean, anything that you can get down on paper, that you form the words with your hands, and have it look back at you. There's just something powerful about that, isn't there?
Very powerful. In fact, the ancient Israelites could never speak the name of God, which in their language was Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they could not speak the name was they knew that if they could even begin to speak the name or to write it down, they could begin to control it. And God was uncontrollable. But that's a sound psychological principle. When you write it down, you begin to control it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the next thing you say is examine the regrets. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, by examining our regrets, again, we strengthen our control over the regret by understanding them. We look at our role in creating the regret, the people we hurt in the regret, those we blame for the regret, and any of the consequences of holding on to the regret. This gives us now the complete look at what it is that we need to deal with. As you have said many times before on your program, can't solve a problem unless you can identify the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And these first two steps identify the problem.
Well, and about now, as you're working through this process, about now, if it's a regret that you really don't like very much, you're starting to get some ugly stuff to come out. And you call it toxic thoughts, don't you?
There are toxic thought patterns that many of us have, which keep our regrets active in our lives. And so for some of us, we have to address these toxic thought patterns. I think there are two primary reasons people don't let go of their regrets. The first is that letting go of a regret is a journey. It's a process. And most people don't know how to follow the process. They don't know how to take the journey. The second reason is that we get something out of our regrets. So, for example, the simplest a toxic thought pattern is perfectionism. That's not the goal of doing well, of achieving. It's the goal of being perfect, which is impossible. If we let go of our regrets that are built on perfectionism, then we have to say to ourselves, well, we're really not perfect. And some of us don't want to admit that, even though it is the most therapeutic way to live, to recognize one's imperfection, because it reflects reality. So there are a number of these toxic thought patterns that we really need to look at. These are patterns carried to an extreme in our lives, and they reinforce and create and make worse our regrets.
You know, to step aside for just a minute and talk about that word perfection, that term perfection, I've been accused of being a perfectionist before, and I denied it. In fact, I was talking to somebody who knows me pretty well about that. I said, you know, I've had people who've accused me of being perfectionist. And this person said, you know, Jim, I think they're confusing thinking you're trying to be a perfectionist for you knowing what you want. And so, but I'm going to give them a little bit of room, and I'm going to say that maybe I have come across as trying to be a perfectionist. But the way I've tried to deal with that myself, Hamilton, is to let myself think about not trying to seek perfection, but to seek excellence. And I don't think I can be perfect, but I think I can do some excellent things. What do you think about that?
I think that's a splendid distinction. I think we can do excellent things. I think we can perform very, very well. We cannot perform perfectly. That is to say, well, 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 every time.
Woodworking is an amazing thing because, you know, as you know, wood is not perfect. When you're working with wood, if you're making a piece of furniture or whatever it might be, a backstop for a basketball goal, the wood's not going to be perfect. But you can take that imperfect wood and make an excellent piece of furniture out of it. And that's kind of the way I think about some of the things that I do. And that's one of the ways I try not to have regrets about something that maybe didn't turn out as perfect as I thought it should. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Dr. Hamilton Beasley, the author of the outstanding new book, No Regrets.
If I could show you somehow. But I don't.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our great friend Hamilton Beasley, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And by the way, folks, he spells his name with a Z. Beasley with a Z, which is probably as it should be. I mean, it always sounds that way anyway, right, Hamilton?
Well, that's, of course, how I've always thought of it.
Dr. Hamilton Beasley, and the book is called No Regrets. It's available wherever books are sold. And the website is noregrets.org. I recommend you check that out. And Hamilton, thank you for making this information available. This is going to This is going to liberate. Your book, I predict, is going to liberate thousands of people from bondage.
Well, thank you, Jim. I certainly hope so. That's why I've written it. It's just a problem to let go of regrets because so many of us don't know how. Society hasn't done a good job of teaching us, and that's what I've set out in the book, is the 10 steps to how to do it. The book also includes a set of exercises and a set of spiritual and psychological tools that can be applied. So it's a complete package. It really does work, and it doesn't have to be worked perfectly. Even some application of the steps will reduce the regrets to some degree. I guess the best thing about the book is that it really does work. It's worked for me and others.
And folks, we've only gone over a couple of three of the regrets of the points that the steps, I should say, of the 10 steps that Hamilton recommends. Hamilton, do you think that some of us don't grow and improve because of our regrets? And here's what I mean by that. You know, if in order for me to deal with regrets, I've either got to do one of two things. I've got to follow your 10-step program and get them out on the table, deal with them, name them, expose them, shine the light on them, let them be seen as not as bad as I've made them out to be. And if they are bad, fix them. I've either got to do that, or I've got to deny that they're there. I've got to push them back, which means that I'll never grow. Do you think some of us don't grow because we do that?
I think some of us don't grow. The problem with pushing regrets back and not looking at them in hopes that they won't hurt us is that, in fact, they hurt us even more. And the only way to deal with them is actually to confront them. It's just as in business. The only way to deal with the problem is actually to confront it. If we don't grow, then life becomes very unpleasant because life pushes us toward growth. And when we resist, we pay a price.
Well,
but some people don't grow.
A lot of regrets that I have are based on, you know, my behavior, things that I have done or things that I shouldn't have done that I didn't do. You know, that's where my regrets are, and so if I'm not willing to admit that I did those things that I now regret, then I'm going to probably I've got to sort of give my behavior some validity. And that probably means I'm going to do it again.
That's right.
And I think about one of the things that I've said for years and years that I've noticed about people, that's one of the most amazing things about humanity, is meeting someone who's 50 who's making the same mistakes that he made when he was 25.
It's very disconcerting. It's not a productive way to live.
But you've seen it, and we all have. And that would be like the greatest indictment of any life would be that to me that you never learned from what you've done to stop making those mistakes.
And it's a very unpleasant way to live. You really pay a psychological toll for that.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say that those people, it seems to me, are just not willing to admit that, you know, maybe what they're doing isn't right. Go ahead with what you were going to say.
No, you're right. A self-examination is the key to a successful, productive life. There's just no way around it, because otherwise we have to have a kind of inventory of ourselves. We have to know who we are, because in business as in life, you want to play to your strengths and reduce your weaknesses by supporting them in some way with people, advice, or whatever. But to... if you don't know what your strengths and weaknesses are, you really do flounder.
Absolutely. Hamilton, give us the website one more time.
Sure. No, it's www.noregrets.org.
That's the book, folks, No Regrets. The subtitle is a 10-step program for living in the present and leaving the past behind. Just those words sound therapeutic to me, Hamilton. Thank you very much for being here today. As always, it's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book. And we look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, Jim. It's a great pleasure.
Dr. Hamilton Beasley, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Continue, ladies and gentlemen, to seek excellence. Don't be perfect. Just seek excellence. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.